it was rumored that some 230 members of the MPP in the Assam South constituency had defected to the opposition National Democratic Congress in the constituency due to the lack of development in the area and the unattractiveness of the MPP in the area. According to the Assam South MPP communication officer, Frederick Dankwa, the known MPP faces in the purported defections were only 5 of their members and not 230. He said the 5 executives in question are currently under suspension following their open campaign for the independent candidate during the 2020 election, contrary to the constitution of the party.
It is a blatant lie that these 5 executives keep on saying that Assam South hasn't seen any development or Assam Insuta hasn't enjoyed from the MPP party. All the schools in Assam Insuta were built by the MPP party. We have built markets at those places. So isn't it prudent that other communities which do not have this facility, we also reach out to them? We cannot keep on building schools there. We cannot keep on building markets there. We cannot keep on building toilets there. We are doing everything to ensure development of the Assam Insuta Senior High School. Those Get Fund projects have seen commencement. They were left ajar. They have seen commencement. Contractors are on site. They have seen extension at the school. We have the member of parliament. I have procured a lab facilities for them. He has also seen to it that they have had a share of the school buses which the government was giving out to senior high schools. The honourable member of parliament ensured that all the 3 senior high schools across the length and breadth of Assam South and even Assam Central, all of them were finished with these buses. So what else are they expecting the party to do?
Right. On your screen right now is a situation that happened in the Ablekuma West constituency. And this happened in the full glare of the members of the MPP, the public, and this gentleman was assaulted. It appears he was not the only one who was assaulted. So the police issued a statement, and in that statement it said that police to put Daniel Parker Odailai France before court today for assault-related offense. The Accra Regional Police Command has investigated and charged suspect Daniel Parker Odailai France for assault after ordering a gang of 8 men to assault his victim during a political event at the Dansoman Liberty Park on Sunday, March 13, 2022. The Accra Regional Police CID invited the suspect to assist the investigation and formally charged him yesterday, Tuesday, March 15, 2022. Meanwhile, he is released on a police inquiry bail to appear before court on Wednesday, March 16, 2022. We continue to assure the public that the police are committed to the protection of life and property at all times and also poised to promote law and order for a peaceful society. Juliana Obeng, Deputy Superintendent of Police Public Affairs Unit, Accra Region. Right. Now, if you have followed the internal processes that have gone on, you would discover that it's been a lot of trouble in many places. In the Bantama and Obuasi West, stories have been very disheartening. In Yendi, in the northern region, it's not been good. In Keta, in the Volta region, it's been one issue after the other. And here, right here in Accra, we just showed you what happened in the Ablekuma West. That's Esla Owusu-Ekofor's constituency, where it became this bloody. Right, so joining me in the studio for this discussion, where we understand that the internal elections, of course, I got information also about what happened in Tano North, where you had the youth vowing to resist any attempt from the MP to impose persons that are his own, as in favorites in the event. Joining us on the on Zoom, Evans Mensah, head of political desk here at Multimedia. Also, Kamal Dean Abdullahi, deputy director of communications of the New Patriotic Party, is right here in the studio. And Dr. Seydou Alidou, senior lecturer, Department of Political Science, University of Ghana, join us. Let's begin with the head of political desk here at Joy News, Evans Mensah. Hello, Evans. Hello, Evans.
How's it going? All right.
Great, great. We can hear you. Great. Yes. So you have kept a special eye at some of these things, and they have not actually dominated the news because of the economic situation and some other very significant news that have been happening in the course of the period. What can you say about the developments that we have across the country as far as the NPP's internal elections are concerned? You hear about albums, double albums, not a new development though, but what's going on?
It's just been a cocktail of issues that the parties had to deal with, very similar to the confusion they experienced in the lead up to the 2020 elections at the primaries. Except that this is at the lowest level of party elections. I mean, the polling station elections. It's the lowest level. I mean, but there's a reason why this has happened. In essence, you win the elections, the kingmakers at the rest of the levels. So either executive level, the constituency executive level, and of course the parliamentary primaries, and the ultimately the presidential primary. So this will be the basic level delegates, and that is why the contest has been this fraught with issues. I mean, across the country, categorize the issues into a few blocks. So we've seen, for example, it started with hoarding of forms. So nomination forms were in short supply in many of the areas where the polling station elections were supposed to have been held. And the thing that I noticed is you find the majority of the hotspots were in the party's own stronghold of the Ashanti region. If you go to the Ashanti region, we've seen it in Menchang North, where the forms were in short supply, people were accused of hoarding them, people go to buy the forms and the forms could not be found. I mean, you go to Central, the Action Central, Kumewu, you go to a place like Fomina, and Fomina is a very interesting place, and I want to pause a bit and consider it a bit. I mean, Fomina, we know Fomina is the place that produced an independent candidate who used to be, of course, on the ticket of the MPP. The president went there in the lead up to the 2020 elections and said, I simply cannot work with him. I mean, he happens to win elections, and he's the second deputy speaker of parliament. Now, the party, obviously, from everything that we've heard, is open to getting him back into the fold, except that the party's constitution is clear that when you run as an independent, you forfeit your membership of the party.
Right.
And the individuals in Fomina, the polling station executives and the party activists say, because of that, they don't see why the party, they believe that the party is bending over backwards to put in place a structure that allowed him to run virtually unopposed. And that has led, and that's those who were agitating, had gone there. Not to run.
Evans, we need to work on your lines so that you can get a better clarity and then rejoin us. Your line is not helping us, but you are telling us some very important things that we need to know. Now, Kamal Dean is here, and as we speak, I know there are places where the elections are being conducted freshly because of these developments right now, this morning. What's happening? Simple, internal, very local, basic elections cannot be held without any troubles. The MPs and those who are seeking to unseat some MPs, and then now we hear, as it were, presidential hopefuls are buying the nomination forms in bulk, and yet people can't get the nomination forms. Obviously deliberate. So if you are not in support of some particular candidate, you can't get the forms to buy. The Constitution requires that you operate in democracy, internal democracy. What is this?
Well, thank you very much, Samson. I think it's unfortunate, but let's also come to terms with the fact that it's a human institution, especially when it appears to be a political institution. Interest is at play. So much interest. I'm sure it's because of that that we have guidelines and we have the constitution of the party giving us, or if you like, enjoining us to certain principles that we need to follow. What normally give birth to some of these disturbances is the interest, first and foremost, I did mention, and also, like Evans rightly mentioned, carrying from polling station to constituency level to, if you like, the regional level going up. And of course, we are embarking on a total overhaul of the party. When I say a total overhaul of the party, the constitution enjoins that in every 4 years, we go to the base of the party, restructure it up to the top. This time round is different. At the tail end, which where we're going to have the presidential primaries, okay, is inclusive. And there, you would have, of course, your guess is as good, will be as good as mine, because obviously there'll be so much interest. Those who think that I would have the idea of contesting or have the idea of contesting in the near future to be either a parliamentary candidate or to be a presidential candidate would have so much interest in some of these.
They simply want to buy the delegates now.
That's the point. You see, and that is why I'm saying that from onset, the interest at play causes some of these disturbances. But do we have a window where we can all have reprieve or we can all be guided or be protected? Which window is that? The guidelines of the party, the constitution of the party is clear. Prior to some of these activities, especially the polling station where we're having the disturbances today, I'm aware that NEC and National Council sat down to come up with guidelines. And the guidelines spelled out what exactly ought to be done in all those constituencies. But some people, for some reasons best known to them, have decided not to follow it. But the party didn't stop there. It says, look, resort to the internal grievances procedure. If you do think that, look, constituency A has a problem, I have an interest, I think that something has gone on which is untoward, which is not in tandem with the laws or the guidelines, you try as much as possible to petition. And when you petition, they will sit on it. I mean, refreshingly so.
You see, when you petition, yes, they will sit on it. Mm-hmm. That's a big issue.
Yes.
I can tell you from experience,
yes,
that whether your petition is considered or not, mm-hmm, also depends on who has the biggest influence as far as the interest in the particular constituency is concerned.
Sure.
I have seen a situation where clear, obvious violations have occurred. They have petitioned at the basic level, they are thrown out. Petitioning at the regional level, they are thrown out. Petitioning at the national level, they are thrown out. And it takes a court to quash all of those processes,
sure,
and to give the people, you know, a semblance of, you know, justice.
So it means that there's still a window for redress to be sought. Okay, from your explanation. Yes, if internally somebody thinks that, look, your petition is not going to be attended to, which you told me to resort to the internal grievances procedure, mm-hmm, then it travels to a level where I'm getting frustrated. The laws of the land comes to play.
But not everybody can afford the hiring a lawyer to go to court.
No, but as we speak today, just yesterday or so, I'm just reading a communique from the General Secretary's office, yet to authenticate that though, but I know it's quite authentic, that a committee of 9 has actually been put in place to look into some of these petitions. So that if even at the constituency level you are not regarded, you come to region, you are not regarded, then you come to national and still some people sit there, without looking into it, then resort to that committee which is the ADR committee and legal support committee. I'm sure the venerable lawyer Gary Nimako is part of it. Obi Amua is part of it. And of course, chairperson is Cecilia Dapa. These are very important and respected personalities in the party. And of course, the director of election and research is also part of that committee and all that. So fine. If you get to a level where you think that all these concerns you've raised has actually happened and they don't care about it, get to the committee again. After the committee, if you still think that you are not served with justice, that is where the laws of the land...
But tell us, sincerely,
yeah.
The reports that you are receiving from these, at least I've mentioned a number of these constituencies, I've shown you a footage. The footage I've shown you is just a tip of the iceberg.
Sure.
The scene at which this happened at the Liberty Park, it's terrible. How the guy was, you know,
attacked.
Hit down, and while on his knees, what was happening to him is terrible. And so you are receiving this report, and you clearly are aware that the MPs or the MP hopefuls are the ones who are sponsoring these kind of thuggery as a responsible party, which gives all of us the impression of, you know, consummate Democrats. You must be doing something about them.
Samson, let's be fair to the leadership of the party. I'm not sure they've gone to sleep on this matter. Yes, it has happened. Prior to even our discussion, you did mention that the police have actually effected, if you like, some investigation processes and all that. Again, internally, despite the police doing their work, I believe that the leadership of the party would also be doing some work on that. I'm not sure it has come out to say that, look, that's the finality, it ends there, the gentleman is hurt, and that ends it. No. I'm not too sure what is being done, but I'm also pretty sure that the leadership of the party would not sit down and consent for a member of the party to, if you like, suffer this fate, if you like. So clearly something will be done or something is being done on it. Maybe we cannot jump the gun to say that, look, this has happened and that's it.
Why are the basic rules, internal rules, not being followed? How can you explain how people can get the forms to buy, to pick up and contest, and then one section has forms and more than enough?
I think, like I said earlier on, a human institution, of course, bedeviled with some interest, as it were. But you see, that is also very wrong. That is where I come in, and I want to appeal to whoever is in the party, including myself. Now, look, if we set guidelines to do X, Y, Z, let us ensure that those guidelines are met. Because, yes, that greed that we all have, I mean, the greediness that we have in us, of course, would not permit you to follow guidelines, as it were. But sometimes you would have to, because when the whip is cracked, you must go by what is laid down. You ask what informs us. Again, I'm getting back to the word interest and people wanting to say that, look, let me control my TEF. Let me make sure that I protect my TEF. I am the MP and I want to continue to be the MP, and whoever is supposed to, come contest me must come in the hard way or must suffer because I am in there. There are people who have made the comment that, look, no, the structure of the committees that we have in the constituencies was wrong. Some have made such comments that we have certain MPs who are members of the committee or representative of them are members of the committee. Okay? Now, some say that, look, the forms were even given to the MPs to take to those constituencies. And you realize that where we have disturbances are where we have MPs.
Mm-hmm.
Usually where we have, you know, the orphan areas, we don't have that. So when they come with those, you know, forms, like I said earlier on, they are human beings who also really want to protect their turf and as it were. So they'll go like, no, instead of having the fair play, let me also try to manipulate it. I think some of these things cause these forms not to be existent. But even that, the party said that, look, when we give the forms to the constituencies and they refuse to sell those forms, come to the region and access a form. When you come to the region and you don't get a form, come to national, we will give you a form to go and fill and, of course, file to the committee. There are instances where you go and you don't even get the committee.
Hold on.
It's a problem.
Hold on. Evans, so you were giving us very important analysis there. Let's see if we have a clear line to you now. Complete your point, and then let's get Dr. Ali Dusedu on this matter. It's getting really ugly out there and bloody as well. It shouldn't be this way.
I mean, yes, something. And from the party's own internal ranks, some of their executives have had cause to complain. He does be talking about whether the party has done enough to address this. I mean, if you take some of the concerns, your former member of parliament for Mensham North, who was on the ground during one of the polling station elections and actually joined the protest, was on air with me and was clear that they had filed petitions all the way from the region to the national, and nothing much has happened. And so he was left very worried. Again, you listen to Kwache Jacko, who was on air, also complaining that the party should keep to the rules. I mean, you get a sense, listening to the, you know, these stalwarts and others, that in places there, the party itself, either, you know, there's been this advocacy in the party for so long from the likes of the party's majority leader in parliament, that some people either in parliament should deserve some form of protection going into the elections. And there's a sense you get from the complaint that the party may be considering this and using other means other than democratic means to allow people to stay as members of parliament whatsoever. And that is possibly why we've seen the agitations happen. And the party has always said press conferences have been held, that these issues have been resolved, but it hasn't done much to calm the nerves. But for me, if you are an MPP person, watch what happened in the lead up to the 2020 election. Similar concerns were raised that people were being prevented from exercising their franchise in one way or the other. Their system was gravitating and encouraging others to go, whilst others were being sidelined. Fomina is a clear example of this. Mm. In the end, we saw the result. The result was this huge, unprecedented losses of seats they suffered in parliament. Mm-hmm. And you need to ask the question, Samson, has the NDC learned the lessons? Because it appears these same mistakes have been repeated, and the confusion that we saw in the lead up to the 2020 elections that delivered this horrendous outcome in parliament is exactly what we are seeing repeated in the polling station elections. So you have to ask, if this is what is happening at the polling station level, what will happen at the constituency, at the regional, national, parliamentary primary, and presidential primary? Your guess is as good as mine.
Interesting. Dr. Aliyu Seydou, thank you so very much for making the time to join us. Hello, Dr. Seydou.
Yeah, Samson, I can hear you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. So it is personal interest that's at play here, isn't it? So that people want to have control at the very basic level to make sure that those who constitute the delegates to vote for primaries, for MPs and the rest of them, will be people that belong to them. And so you see often there's a creation, some places they have to compromise to use two albums. They say this is one album, this is the other album, we don't trust this, we don't trust that. One MP will insist that we use this. And the example I'm just giving of the what happened at the Liberty Park at Dansuman, which the police have taken control of somewhat, is clear for everybody to see. The Minister for Communications now had indicated that after this term, she was done. There was a guy who was in contention to sort of succeed her under the NPP. That's Ronnie Nicole. Then suddenly she makes a U-turn that she's no longer going to finish with this term. She will go again. So there's a suspicion that she, her team, and the team of that guy are the ones that are fighting to ensure that they have control over the delegates, leading to the bloodbath that we see there. What should be done?
Thank you so much, Samson. I agree to Evans and then Kamaldeen that this is a foundational election in the party. And it is not just an end in itself, but a means to a lot of end. And when we are able to get it right, then we can get a lot right. When we miss this one, we are going to miss a lot. I agree there are individual interests, but that is why there is a political party called the MPP. The MPP as a political institution is supposed to aggregate the individual interests within its membership into a party interest. guided by a party's constitution, a party's guideline or laws or whatever that will be required to make sure that even people express their personal interest in a manner that is democratic, in a manner that is competitive, in a manner that reflects the party's constitution and the general interest of the political party. Now, if this is happening, if the interest of individuals is able to supersede the party's constitution, the party's electoral guidelines, and other institutions that are supposed to guide the forward march of deepening internal democracy in the party, then we are in trouble. Because institutions are supposed to provide that lead way and the guide to aggregate this interest of the individual. Now, if the individuals now supersede, their interest supersedes that of the constitution, then it means that all this is happening is allowed to start. Or they will contest it, but in a manner that the outcome may not still be accepted by other people. And it has a lot of implications. Samson, one, on our internal democracy, the national democratic credential is pulled out from political parties' internal democratic processes. If you lost it there, then what moral authority do you have to critique people at the national level when things are not done in a fair manner? But two, Evans has already mentioned, the MPP should be learning so much from what happened in 2020. It started, the 2020 started with just protecting some few MPs. And you saw the reaction of the voters in the election. Now, if you begin to do this at the foundational level, police station, executive, electoral area coordinators, then that same thing will translate into the constituency level election, regional, national, MP, and then flag bearer. Then it means that all the processes will be tainted in a way. And people who believe they are, will not be addressed by the party in a manner, will have other ways of protesting. Not necessarily going to court, like my brother Kamal Adin said. They will be up at it, they will sit at home, or they will not vote, or they will even defer to the other political party. The MPP has to do a lot. So I think one, the conflict resolution committee they have set up is a very good move. But we have to be saying that the membership are reflect the various shades of divided opinion, and they are very fair in dealing with these particular issues. But two, the party must make sure that the constitution of the party works. If individual interest supersedes the party's constitution, that interest of the individual must be checked by the constitution.
Mm.
And if people fell foul of the law, they must be punished. It should not be sort of an apartheid way of punishing. You punish one particular people who belong to one faction and leave the others to continue to do what they do. So the party has to put its feet on the ground, make its constitution work, and then find a way to actually make the internal processes of their elections to select the national character and devoid of this kind of blank bar monetization and all the things that we have seen, complete disregard of the party's constitution.
There's the bigger picture ahead of the party that has to do with the national executive elections and the presidential flag bearer elections. Do you think this is going to lessen because the interests are deep?
I think it is going to be even more chaotic if care is not taken. Because what we are seeing at the polling station, electoral area coordination, is just a play of the powers that want to lead the party, or the powers that want to lead the party at the national level, but also in the flag bearership position. They have all started working, they have all started influencing in a very positive and negative manner. So all these things is as a result of a little bit of the interest of those big players. Because that is one of the bases for building up the electoral college that will lead to the major election. So I think if this is happening at this particular level, in the manner that has happened, if care is not taken at the national level, it's going to be it's going to be so much, a level that we cannot imagine. Mm. So that is why I think the party should close their ranks, let the constitution reign supreme, and any person whose interests want to supersede that of the constitution must be dealt with by the constitution.
Mm.
And if this is done in a very fair and clear manner without favoring other people and allowing other people to be punished, I bet you something they'll have a very better national level primaries and then flag bearership. But if care is not taken and some people are seen to be above the party's constitution because they belong to one faction, or people can do whatever they want to do without regard to the constitution, then it is going to be more chaotic than what is happening at the grassroots level.
Evans, given that this is so important to the incumbent MPs, such that they will abandon parliament and the NDC will raise issue of quorum almost every day, and now they are unable to take decisions in the House. How do you see things panning out?
I may have lost you briefly, but I'm sure you're linking this to what is happening in Parliament. And you're right. In fact, it's not just an allegation or just assuming stuff. The majority chief whip, Anodonpre, last week I spoke to him about their inability to do business on the floor, and he attributed partly the absence of the MPP MPs to the ongoing polling station elections. And you need to ask the question, Samson. This is polling station elections. What has that got to do with members of parliament in the House and coming to do the work? It is not a parliamentary primary. It is polling station elections. But they are missing parliament and choosing to be in their various constituencies and polling areas so they can, as an allegation goes, try and influence the process of who gets elected, because they know if they succeed at that level, they're almost guaranteed a win in their primaries. That is a tragedy, and it has to be emphasized. And to think that there will be an admission by the leadership of the MPP in Parliament that is what is happening, and they cannot whip them back to the House to work at the time when the economy is in crisis, where you think that Parliament will be sitting. Look, there is a particular loan agreement that has to do with the building of hospitals across the country, I mean, a health facility. Mm. That has been postponed for so long. Mm. Each time they try, the minority guys will raise a quorum question on the back of the Supreme Court verdict that says that half means half. And they'll raise that point, and then the Speaker will have no choice than to adjourn. That is how bad this has been. It's not only affecting the MPP, it's affecting the country and doing business in Parliament. Serious government business has stalled for so long just because MPs rather are focusing on polling station elections instead of doing business in the House. And you're right, this is really unprecedented, it has to be said. The levels at which this is happening. For a party that's approaching a second term elections with all the challenges that we know that comes with it.
Right, I'm coming to Kamaruddin, but Dr. Ali Seydou, if you can say something briefly on this. This is not a good commentary on the governing party, is it? That in such times when we are in critical situation, economic situation like this, for the MPs to be in parliament to ensure that government business runs so that all of us, the citizens, will benefit, their primary interest, rather, is to get there and try and influence and buy delegates whilst we suffer.
Something is true. I think... It suggests the level at which our maybe current corp of political leadership may put their personal interest above the collective national interest. Yes, I know if you are not in parliament, if you lose the election, you cannot contribute your quota to parliamentary and national development. But it is very important that at the time that we are facing serious global level economic crisis, that has a spillover effect on our country. We should have seen the governing party doing so much to be able to ease the sufferings of Ghanaians. And like Evans mentioned, very important critical loan schemes that will have helped us to be able to do this. We are unable to raise corruption, and largely coming from what? MPs that are in government. So it speaks volumes to the fact that maybe their interest is just being in the public life, being an MP forever, or whatever happens to the rest of the Ghanaians, none of their business. But the second level is that it seems to suggest that the laws and the constitution in the party doesn't work. If it works well, you don't need to go and influence who is supposed to be in the winter and who is not supposed to be there. The laws are very clear. And if they implement it sincerely to the letter, you don't need to leave your business in Accra Parliament House and go and be able to find who is going to be there.
The laws are already clear on who is supposed to be there and who is not supposed to be there. So if there are reasons to believe that this can be changed or manipulated in a way that is unconstitutional, and the MPP need to re-examine its constitution and how it translates into action.
Right. Kamaldeen, as we sit here, apart from the areas that we have mentioned, you know, to use as example, we're getting messages from various places. Party executives, so unhappy. Party people at that level, so unhappy about what is going on. And they are saying, open the phone lines and let's tell you our stories.
Is he something?
They are saying you're being diplomatic about what is going
Samson,
on.
Samson, I am not being diplomatic. The fact is that, like I said, if we all took it as a duty to go by the guidelines, like Dr. Alidu says, I'm not sure we'll be where we are today, discussing our party matters on the, you know, on Newsfile, that some things didn't go on well. I mean, we should all be ashamed of ourselves, okay, that merely selling forms to people who will be interested to be party executives at the base is problematic. We should be ashamed of ourselves, honestly. All of us, and I mean members of MPP, all of us, we should have that problem. You see, but an important point is raised about MPs and their availability in parliament. I also side with, you know, some of these comments. That is why the party anticipated that maybe the MPs would not be present for this exercise, and the party then said that, look, let us factor them in our plans. So the committee that is set up at the constituency level has either the MP or the MP's representative. So that if, for example, I'm taking Nantong constituency, for instance, and if Nantong constituency MP ought to be in parliament or is supposed to be in parliament, and of course the exercise of this nature is supposed to go on, he has a representative on
the
committee.
At the moment, we have had your MPs blaming the NDC for things that are happening in parliament because they are not able to take a decision. Now we know the truth, that this is hypocritical. They themselves are not committed to the government business. They are committed to their private personal gains at the constituency.
When you emphatically say that now you know the truth, you are hinging your facts based on what you have heard, that it is because of the party election that they were not present. I'm not too sure.
What else accounts for their absence?
It is an allegation out there, and that is why I said the party anticipated this and did say that the committee that we are putting together would have a representative of the MP, so that it would not actually affect national exercise, as it were, for them to be in parliament. But maybe some of them might have not taken that and then got, still gone on the ground to work on it. But you see, Samson, I think the committee that is set up and sworn in yesterday or so by the chairman or the general secretary of the party should actually work. And I trust them. Gary Dimakwe and co really are people who are top-notch when it comes to legal issues, when it comes to ensuring that the regulations and rules are followed. Wherever these scores of messages are coming to you, wherever you think there's a problem, ensure that whoever is affected puts together a petition and then, of course, forward same to the committee through the channels that the party has actually spelled out. And I believe, inshallah, some of these things will be nipped in the bud and then solved. But you see, the danger it poses when we don't do this right is what Alidu mentioned. If you get your base wrong, you get the entirety wrong. If we get people sitting on fences and say, we're not going to support the party, we're not going to work just because I feel that I was actually not treated well.
You are listening to the supporters
here. That will give us apathy.
They are followers in Bantama.
Yes.
I mean, surprising. Bantama, that's your World Bank.
Well.
And they look at the comments that they
were saying. That is why I'm saying that we should try as much as possible to defeat that, because it will get apathy setting in. And when apathy sets in, actually, we're going to have a problem. Politically, I will say this, because I'm a politician, I have to make this point.
Somebody says that their fear is that whilst they are trying to work things out down there, because particularly the MPs, they have influence at national, they are able to influence the processes at national regarding the album. And that's their fear. So
yet another allegation. Of course, that tells you that indeed the committee that has been put in place as an alternative dispute resolution committee, you have work to do. The allegation is that somebody sitting somewhere has influence at national level and then would come to there, I mean to national level, to influence whatever he has, to manipulate it in favor of him or her. That, of course, we should prove them wrong.
Okay.
I'm making the point again that if we try as much as possible to do this and get people disillusioned and they are not happy and sit on the fence, we have a critical election ahead of us in 2024. More so, we have a presidential primaries to run. Mm-hmm. That also can even deepen the cracks if you are not careful.
Right.
So my call to all of us is that, look, let us play by the rules. We have 275 constituencies. I believe that where we have these problems are not even up to 25 constituencies at all. No.
Hmm.
No, I have checked. I've done my checks. Not up to even 25 constituencies. But even if it's one constituency, let us allow justice to be served so that we all be happy, come on board, and on any day. Something I will tell you this. If MPP puts themselves together on any day and look at the demography of voters in this country strongly, and of course harness the grounds and gets their voters on board, the NDC can never beat them into an election. That I can tell you, on any day. But because what causes this is because people feel not happy and throw their hands in despair, sit back, and then work will not be done, and we have a problem. So let us get it right. Otherwise, we have ourselves to blame.
All right. Let me get your very final comment in a minute each to Evans and Dr. Ali Disedo.
I mean, I just have to say that the MPP, they have everything to lose. Nothing to gain from this. The economy's in crisis. They are the government of the day. They'll take the responsibility for it. They have less than 2 years before a major election. And, you know, the thing about what is happening is people look at this and they combine that with what they are feeling in their pockets and the economy.
That's right.
And it just makes people even more upset. And, yeah. And I don't know, sometimes you get the impression that governing parties tend to develop a death wish when they approach their second term. And MPP is better advice.
Thank you, Dr. Ali Disedo. And this the Ablekuma West situation, and that's where that gentleman, you see him on the floor before he was taken to the hospital. Yes, Dr. Ali Disedo.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Samson. I think the committee that was just set up and operated yesterday had a lot of work to do. I agree with my brother Kamal. But the issue is that most of the party executives are very complicit in this act. Most of them are seeking re-election. Most of them have openly declared their support for one of the candidates that want to lead the party after his excellency that I do that part of it. And they are taking a lot of action, directly or indirectly, to influence the course of this process in their favor or the favor of those people. And if those people have set up a committee and chosen the committee members, what's the guarantee that the other side will have confidence in that committee? So I think they have a lot of work.
Right.
And they need to set up
right.
to be able to become more competitive.
Right. You have a lot of work. Have a lot of work to do.
I would not appear
because
pessimistic.
There are people who are saying that particularly this constituency we are talking about, somebody sent a message and says that that gentleman, Ronnie, if he went independent, you'll be in trouble. Wow. So you need to put your house together, not allow cracks to happen.
I will not appear pessimistic about the committee. Like I said, they are very eminent people, respected people in the party, and I believe they are going to work and work well.
Right.
The influence of the allegation of influence that you have raised, and of course, with Ali also saying that some they are set up by the executive and who are sometime some people who would like to go into an election. Therefore, maybe people might not be pleased of them. I'm very sure that something will be done.
Thank you, Kamal Dean. Let me just a few messages. My time is up, really. Ouch, I can't read. My production says I can't read. My outfit, as always, is by Habil's Couture. Habil's Couture, you can find them at Adjeringano Gate, East Legon. The number to call is 0200-841-988. 0200-841-988. That is where to get these outfits that you see me wear. Beautiful and smart. I'm Samson Ladia Yanini. Thank you very much. This has been News File.